What a massive, incredible, unbelievable disappointment the Phillies were last night down at Citizens Bank Park. Just a horrendous effort from the Phillies as they get their butts whooped by the way better Los Angeles Dodgers. They lose 16-2. I repeat, 16-2. Last two runs allowed by Roman Quinn. We got a position player pitching. And it's one of those things where the Dodgers come into town and you say, oh, well, the Dodgers are way better than the Phillies. I said it multiple times yesterday in the show. Oh, Dodgers are way better. You don't think they're going to get their butts whipped 16-2? Just an awful, awful, awful showing from the Phillies last night. Corey Seidman summed up the fourth inning well. The Phillies were up 1-0 inning in the fourth, and then it all fell apart. This is how the inning goes. As Corey Seidman says, that was tough to watch. It goes single, RBI double, ground out, RBI single, walk, RBI single, safety squeeze RBI single, sacrifice RBI single, double steal of second, and home. And then on top of that, the Phillies were so out of it, they didn't even realize they got the third out when Alex Verdugo struck out to end the inning. It was that kind of night. I was down at the ballpark, and let me tell you, it was a disaster. We will dive into it all in the Phillies in general. This is Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Tuesday, July the 16th. As we come off patently one of the most disappointing efforts of the season from a team this had some really disappointing showings. This is a team that, again, look, you can just go all the way back to you had the gut punch loss on Saturday night from the Juan Soto run, but in terms of just pure disappointment, the way they showed up the first game out of the All-Star break, zero runs, shut down by Steven Strasburg in a Nationals bullpen that is awful. That was disappointing. But man, last night, after losing 2 of 3 of the Nats, but trying to muster some sense of hope and excitement with a walk-off win on Sunday. And Michael Franco, bottom of the ninth, walk-off home run ends it. We're all celebrating. Everyone's like, oh, that's what this team does. They suck, 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 and then they win an exciting game or an exciting series, and you're like, yes! Then they go back to disappointing, and that's exactly what happened. 16-2. 16-2. They lost yesterday 16-2. And they got out to an early lead. They're up 1-0. They got on Kershaw early. Kershaw was at 60 pitches. Through three innings, 61 to be exact. And somehow he goes 6 innings, 1 run, 7 Ks, gets the win as the Dodgers again go off in that fourth inning, putting up a 6 spot. Cody Bellinger had 2 homers, homer in the fifth, homer in the seventh. They would add 2 runs over those. He would one run in the fifth on the Bell drummer, another run in the seventh on the Bell drummer, then a Muncy homer in the seventh, another run. Then they put up a nice, cool 4 spot in the eighth, a Verdugo homer, a couple more runs, then a couple more in the ninth, as it would be 16-2. 16-2. Scott Kingery homered in the third. The Phillies would score another run in the eighth on a Michael Franco sacrifice fly, and that was it. The Phillies multiple times had the bases loaded in this game and unable to capitalize both times. Just a really epically disappointing performance. Look, here's the thing. And with the games last night, the Phillies still right there in the wild card. Tied with the Cardinals. Cardinals won last night. But it's really, it's one of those situations where you look at this Phillies team, 48-46 on the season, and despite the fact that they are technically a wild card team, and we'll look into it deeper, they don't feel like a playoff team. They feel like quite the opposite. They feel like a, not even close. They feel like a team that doesn't even deserve to be in playoff contention, much less be a playoff team. And then, really, and it's really what we've talked about a lot, and we'll dive into Andy McPhail's comments a little bit more coming up, but just the idea of where this team is at and kind of the tough messaging that has to get out there, that McPhail put out there, that, hey, this team isn't one trade away. They're not two trades or three trades away. I mean, you look at that Dodgers team they played against last night, and that was Clayton Kershaw on the hill, and he's a Hall of Famer, but he is not peak Clayton Kershaw. How about this? The Dodgers have two pitchers who've been better than Clayton Kershaw, and Walker Buehler, and obviously Hyunjin Ryu, who is the front runner for the Cy Young Award along with Max Scherzer in the National League. But, I mean, they have, Cy Young front runner. Walker Buehler is one of the best young pitchers in baseball. Then they have Kershaw as essentially the third best starter. He probably pitched the second game in a playoff series, but essentially their third best starter right now. All three of those guys better than anyone the Phillies have. You could put Nola there with those guys, but then Kenta Maeda, who will see this series, better than anyone else the Phillies have other than Nola. Ross Stripling, who's the Dodgers, came into the season as their sixth starter. Rich Hill gets hurt, and he's better than anyone the Phillies have but Nola. And then offensively slash defensively, the Dodgers across the board better. It's not even close. I mean, you go look through that lineup last night. I mean, Cody Bellinger homers twice. He's going to win the National League MVP. Him or Yelich, having a massive season, took the home run lead back last night. Alex Verdugo goes 3-for-6 with a home run. I mean, that's a guy who he just comes up and is dominant for the Dodgers. They just have so much depth, so much talent. Jock Peterson, Corey Seager, Justin Turner. AJ Pollock's healthy again. I just don't see a way the Phillies beat the Dodgers. And a 7-game series and a 1-game series. Okay, anything can happen in a 1-game series. But look, the Dodgers aren't playing a 1-game series because they're winning the NL West. They're going to have home field throughout the playoffs because they're going to have the best record in baseball. Certainly the best record in the National League. So it's one of those situations where, and we'll get to it with the McPhail stuff because I do think that really plays in, but it's a situation where this team's just not even in the Dodgers' league. They're not even in their class. They're not in the Braves' class, for what it's worth. The Braves are a way better baseball team. Honestly, where we're at right now, it feels like they're not even in the Washington Nationals' class. The Nationals just feel like a better baseball team. But they're certainly not in the Dodgers' class. They're not in the Dodgers' hemisphere. They're not the same species as the Dodgers. You know, they are not even, they don't deserve to be mentioned in the same sentence as the Dodgers right now. Man, that team is so much better. And, again, it's a frustrating situation because that is Andy McPhail said, and we'll talk about McPhail's comments a little bit more coming up, but and just a few things that have kind of really set people off, but just in terms of, he defended Kapler and Klentak, but it's a situation where, as this continues to happen, and look, I think that Matt Klentak deserves more blame than Gabe Kapler. If I have to parse it out, I think that ultimately this roster is just not good enough. There's just no question about it, especially from a pitching perspective. They're just not good enough. They're bad staff. And the injuries have really hurt the pen, but they're bad staff. But as far as Kapler goes, I feel bad for Kapler in the sense that I don't really know what he could do here. He is, again, having to roll out guys like Edgar Garcia and J.D. Hammer in high-leverage situations. That's just a loser. That's a losing mentality from the start. That's a losing situation. But also, when you have guys like Bryce Harper, guys like Gene Segura, all these guys who are just consistently underperforming, consistently, night to night, these guys are just a massive disappointment. I mean, Bryce Harper is a huge disappointment at this point in the season. And I have stand for Bryce Harper. I have fought for Bryce Harper, and I really appreciate the way the guy goes about his business. I appreciate his mentality. I appreciate all the things he said about Philly once he wants to do here. I appreciate the aggressiveness with which he plays. I appreciate the defensive prowess he's shown this season. And look, as I've said many times here, even though he's been tossed out on the base pass far too often, I still appreciate the aggressiveness. I appreciate the way he goes about what he's doing. But, man, we need more from Bryce Harper. I mean, we need more. And he has, career-wise, always been a good second-half guy, someone who's can kind of turn the Jets on and put up a month and a half that kind of carries the season. And I still believe that is something that can happen, but man, it needs to happen soon. It needs to happen soon. They're running out of time. And not in the sense of the second wild card, as we know they're there, but they're running out of time. I mean, this is a real season on the brink. Look, we saw what happened last year with this team when they were in the running, and then all of a sudden it was the worst collapse we've ever seen in terms of a two-month collapse, where this team just was a tragedy for 2 months last year. And look, you need a lot more from Bryce Harper. You just do. You just do. He hasn't been good enough. There's no way against it. And I am a big defender of Harper from the human perspective. A big life change. Comes to Philadelphia. New team, new situation. His wife is pregnant. There's a lot going on for that guy. There's all kinds of pressure as the face of a franchise, as someone who now it's really your team, when before it was Max Scherzer's team, it was Ryan Zimmerman's team, it was all these guys. You're the young kid who's just the talent. Here it's his team. It's on his shoulders, so I get it. It's not easy. It's stressful. There's a lot that goes into having to be a successful baseball player on a night-to-night basis, but it's just not good enough. I'm sorry. I'm at the point where we need more from Bryce Harper. There's no other way to say it. And to the point I was making before, where you can't blame Gabe Kapler when all these guys have underperformed, when the pieces just aren't there for success. I mean, there's, you know, it's a tough spot for Gabe, but at the same time, ultimately, when we and look ahead, and I don't think anyone's getting fired during the season, but at the end of the season, when we look at last season, when, again, I don't think it was his fault per se, but Gabe Kapler presided over the, again, as said before, one of the worst two-month collapses at the end of a season we've ever seen. There's just no arguing against that. I mean, they were a shell of a baseball team. And then this year, where, again, I don't blame Kapler from a personnel standpoint. There are a lot of holes, and he's had to use a lot of guys who don't deserve him to be in certain spots in those spots. But at the same time, I mean, man, how many lifeless, listless performances have we seen from this team? How many times, like last night against the Dodgers, have we seen them go out and just put up a stinker, man? Just a disappointing showing in a big spot against a good team, all that stuff. We've seen it way too often. And again, I'm not putting all that on Gabe Kapler, but at a certain point, Gabe Kapler has to answer for that. At a certain point, as the field manager of a baseball team, it's your job to make sure that everyone is ready to play. Make sure there's some sort of energy there. Make sure there's some level of, you know, give a crapness to your team. Because far too often this season, we've seen too much of that. We've seen way too much of a team that just hasn't cared enough, or hasn't at least looked like they've cared, hasn't shown that chutzpah, shown that fight, shown that fire. It's been way too common a refrain this season. Too many examples of that. And that's just, again, look, a lot of that is on the players. A lot of that's on underperforming. A lot of that's on energy. A lot of that's on the grind. All that stuff. But ultimately, when it all comes home to roost, Gabe Kapler is going to be the person holding that bag. And ultimately, there's no one else who can hold it. You're not firing the players. You're not litigating why some team didn't have enough effort in a certain game. You're just saying, hey, they didn't have enough effort. You're not blaming Bryce Harper for that night he wasn't on, or this or that. You're blaming the manager. And ultimately, that's fair. Whether you control it or not, it's his responsibility. This team has to show some effort. And on too many nights, they have just been a lifeless, listless, disinterested group of players. And that just can't happen. And it's happened too often, especially when you go back to last year. And again, I don't blame Gabe for that swoon. But when things happen again, when they've happened once, they happen again, you can only get so many chances. And as much as I don't blame Gabe Kapler, as much as I blame others, ultimately, I do think that if it continues on the path it's on, I think that Kapler's the guy who's going to bear the brunt of it. I think Kapler loses his job before Klentak does. I think Kapler loses his job before McPhail does. I just do. It's easier. It's what usually happens, whether deserved or not. I think that's the path we're headed down if they can't figure it out. And again, they're right there in the playoff race, but man, they don't look like a playoff team. They don't feel like a playoff team. They don't play like a playoff team. They're just disappointing. They're really disappointing. And, you know, you hope that they can kind of turn that around. Because right now that they are a real disappointment. And, look, they got three left against the Dodgers, and I feel horrendous about them. I don't know why they're going to beat the Dodgers. Why should they beat the Dodgers? Dodgers, Aaron Nola against Ross Chirpling. Maybe. Maybe they win that one. Probably, hopefully. That's it, though, in terms of an advantage going in. I mean, the Dodgers are better. We saw it last night. 16-2. 16-2. What a disappointment. Just a disappointing showing. And again, it's really hard to reconcile this whole situation because they're right there. They're in it. They're in the race of the playoff seat. And they probably will be. None of these teams are great. We'll talk about it. But the Brewers, the Cardinals, none of these teams are juggernauts. The Brewers are playing some of the worst baseball in baseball right now. They're right there. But, man, it's certainly not inspiring. When you see games like last night, when you see the series against the Nationals coming out of the All-Star break, all the disappointment leading up to that, and they come out and they lose two or three of the Nats, and then they put up that against a Dodgers team that had played on Sunday Night Baseball, that was coming in after an extra innings games on Sunday Night Baseball, and the Phillies have been sitting around all afternoon on Sunday, nothing to do at home. You get that. Man, I'm fired up. I'm mad. I'm disappointed. I'm angry and all that. But nothing we can do but go back out and play again tonight and hope it gets better. I don't know why it would. I don't feel good about it getting better, but there's nothing else we can do. So, coming up, we'll come back. We'll talk a little more about Andy McPhail. We'll also look at the other teams around the Phillies right now in the wild card chase and kind of why there's a chance that as bad as they are, the Phillies stay in it based on the competition more so than themselves. And then we'll also look ahead to tonight's game two against the Dodgers, which can't go much worse than game one. So hopefully it's better tonight. All that and more coming up. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. Coming right back. We're back, Phillies Today. James Seltzer coming up. We'll look ahead to Game 2 against the Dodgers. Do I feel good about it? No. Spoiler alert. Looking ahead. But we'll dive into that. The Phillies just, man, need a win. Need a win. Don't feel good about them getting it. But we will talk about that. First, though, I wanted to quickly touch on the Andy McPhail thing one more time. As it did feel like yesterday there was a real outcry against Andy McPhail. And I get it. I think that the way he went about messaging the team's message did feel a bit downerish, did feel a bit uninspiring. You know, he did kind of poo-poo the team and their chances, and I think there's some flaws in there. But ultimately, I do think that we are kind of missing what McPhail was doing on a whole, and also the message he's putting out there. First and foremost, I think the main purpose of what Andy McPhail did, as someone who's been in baseball for a long time, been in organizations for a long time, is I think he was taking the heat for Kapler and Klentak. He was trying to say, all right, let's get people mad at me. If I say this, people will blame me. They won't blame Matt. They won't blame Gabe. And then we can kind of change the narrative here because people could be mad at me if they want. I'm a 70-year-old man who's, you know, a president of a team, but this isn't, you know, I've had a great career. I won a couple World Series with the Twins. I've built some teams. I'll take the heat here. And I think that's what he was doing. And I think it's a really smart managerial tactic by him as someone who knows what he's doing. But at the same time, I also think that what he said is true. I think that on a basic level, this team is not one trade away. He is absolutely right and smart to believe that. And this organization should believe that they are not as close as the record might seem, as the wild card spot may seem. Having said that, I also think that the way he went about it was flawed. You don't need to say that to the public. You could just go say, hey, listen, if there's the right trade out there, we want to make it. We want to make this team better, whatever. And not be so blunt and so forceful about it in the sense that it does turn your fan base off. It also really, you know, kind of turns the players in the clubhouse off. It makes you feel like there's not much belief in what they got going. So I think there are a lot of reasons that McPhail could have softened the message a little bit there. But I do think that ultimately what McPhail was trying to do, he achieved. And I ultimately also think that despite all the poor execution of it, I think McPhail was probably right to say what he said. And I don't think that it was a off-base type of comment. This team is not throwing trade away, and I really hope they don't mortgage the future for a team that just isn't good enough this year. All right, quickly, I wanted to look at the teams around the Phillies because I do think that as much consternation and frustration and all that that we've had about the Phillies right now, and rightfully so, because, again, they are just a massive disappointment so far this season and certainly coming out of the break, just a real bummer of a showing from the Phillies so far since the break, as they come out of the All-Star break and just really disappoint. But having said all that, they're still tied for a wild card right now. They're tied with the St. Louis Cardinals. The Brewers half game back. The Brewers lose last night. They are tied with the Cardinals. The Cardinals won last night. The Phillies 48-46. The Cardinals 47-45. So technically, the Cardinals have a slightly higher winning percentage, but as they have a couple games in hand and one better in the loss column, but ultimately tied now. So again, while this team is not good and certainly disappointing, you look at the teams around them. The Brewers have been an absolute disaster as of late. The Brewers in their last 10 games, 2-8. 2-8. Lost again last night. Lost to the Giants. Not great. The Cardinals, 6-4 in their last 10. They've played better baseball. Run differential perspective. Man, the Phillies all of a sudden down to minus 16. The Brewers at minus 24. Actually, the Cardinals at plus 5. How about this? The Arizona Diamondbacks are a game back of the Phillies, and Cardinals are plus 50. What? Plus 50. They are way better. The Cincinnati Reds are way behind as well. Minus 33. Or plus 33. Otherwise, a bunch of negative run differentials. By the way, I haven't mentioned the Nationals here. They're two games up on the Phillies right now. I haven't mentioned them because they're just way better. I'm not even including the Nationals in this conversation. I think the Nationals are more likely to win the NL East than they are to not get one of the two wild card spots. How about that? How's that for a take? Well, that's how I feel. I feel like the Nationals are more likely bet to fall out of to win the National League East than fall out of the wild card. Phillies, though, it's crazy because the other teams, the Brewers, the Cardinals, the Diamondbacks, the Rockies, the teams that are really competing, I think the Padres are already starting to fall out of it. The Pirates, not a real contender. The Giants, clearly not a contender. And the Reds, bad luck, but I think ultimately will fade. I think it's really going to come down to the Brewers, the Cardinals, the Diamondbacks, and the Rockies, and even then, the Diamondbacks. Not sure they'll stay in it. Look, if I had to bet on the Phillies, of those four teams, I'd still take the Brewers and the Cardinals and probably the Rockies over the Phillies for, the fact the Brewers and the Rockies made the playoffs last year. They have that experience, that toughness, and the Cardinals just a better run organization right now. And a really talented team. Obviously a lot will come down to what type of deals are made at the deadline, who helps themselves, but while I don't feel great about the Phillies' chances to make the playoffs in that group of teams, I do feel like they at least have a chance. I feel like none of those teams are juggernauts. None of those teams are running away with it, so at least that is something to hang your hat on. All right, tonight, man, talk about a bad pitching matchup. Vincent Velasquez takes over for the Phillies. Walker Buehler for the Dodgers. Walker Buehler, all-star Walker Buehler. Young phenom Walker Buehler. Vincent Velasquez is not that, among other things, just not psyched. Man, hope for a miracle. Does that sound like too much? Because that's how I feel right now. I feel like the Phillies need a miracle tonight because Velasquez stinks. Granted, okay outing last time out, but they need Velasquez to be great tonight, and they need to somehow jump on an awesome pitcher in Walker Buehler. You just got to hope that 16-2 lights fire under them. They've had a decent record of bouncing back after just pure, utter, embarrassing losses, but we'll see. It's a big one. Either way, we'll be back to break it down a whole lot more tomorrow. So until then, thank you for listening to Phillies Today right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.